Let's just jump into it as prepared as always.
Mistakes, we have a plenty.
Welcome to the, what is this, the third edition? The third edition of...
This is number four, I believe.
Well, the zero issue doesn't count.
Oh, fuck off with that.
All right, well then, welcome to the fourth edition of the fucking Do It Cast.
Yeah, the fourth edition, labeled number three.
Labeled number three, because...
We should really stop paying attention. We're going to end up like UFC. We're going to start paying attention to numbers that don't fucking matter anymore.
Number 5.0 and shit. My name is Jamie Noguchi.
My name's Chalmers.
Yeah, and we are your hosts for our show.
I feel like I just cut you off like you were going to explain who you were to people who were subscribed to your YouTube channel.
I don't know, man. Sometimes we get new people. I don't know. We don't.
I got to be honest with you. I think at this point now, we can throw away the intro. Like, we can just start bullshitting.
All right. Well, friend Brando. Oh, before we jump into our stuff, I want to give a shout out to Greg Larson once again. He helped us figure out our email situation last week and actually sent us an email with new topics to discuss. So I put them in our
nice.
Google Doc.
Nice.
And he wanted to promote two things. He writes a podcast called This Kaiju Life.
Okay.
And you can find that at kaiju.libsyn.com, which is an amazing get, I think.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And his sister runs a YouTube channel that does makeup tutorials. And her name is Anya Stamper. I didn't even know Greg had a sister. So that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
So I'll put these links in the show notes wherever you are acquiring the show.
I was going to say, that YouTube channel definitely sounds like something that our friends who are cosplayers would probably be able to benefit from as well.
Yeah, definitely. Check those stuff out. URL, links and stuff, wherever we go.
Yeah, links right there-ish. Links
right here, down here-ish. There.
Yeah.
All right, Brando, what are you geeking on?
This week, I'm geeking on two things. The first is a boring old thing that, has been on for fucking ever, but it's coming off of Hulu in 9 days, so I suddenly was like, I have to watch all of this. Jamie, I went back, and it's like 2005 all over again. I'm watching Deadliest Catch, because I'm a fucking moron. I'm a fucking moron. Like, I don't know why I'm... let's see, season 9 through I think 13 or something like that are on Hulu Live right now. I'm just about done season 10. I have now 8 days to finish before they expire. So it's a race against fucking no one for a bullshit crown that I gain nothing.
What's new with the Hillstrand brothers?
They fired their son. Do you understand, Jamie? I don't even understand the dynamic of how there can be two brothers who are also captains and somehow they all manage to make like 42 grand a trip, which fuck you for one, okay? Like, one of them just sat there the entire time and made shitty dad jokes and made 42 grand. Like, that dude is pulling in like Bill Burr money to make dad jokes and I don't get it.
Oh my God.
I don't fucking understand it. Okay, anyway, if you've seen one episode of Deadliest Catch, you've seen all episodes of Deadliest Catch, it's all the fucking same. It's still great background television.
Is the Dirty Jobs guy still doing the voiceovers?
Yeah, Micro still does the voiceovers. And, that guy Micro goes back and forth in between being somebody that I genuinely like and somebody who needs to shut the fuck up. But that's true of anybody on the internet. I will say, from what I've seen, the Micro Works Foundation and some of the, like, get your hands on it, not everybody has to go to college kind of mentality, I am behind. So... Mm-hmm. If you are a blue-collar worker or you just want to work with your hands or whatever it is, I do support that idea. I'm one of them myself, so fucking go do the thing. Chase after whatever you're into, and just remember that there ain't no shame in being an electrician. That shit is always useful.
Oh, yeah.
That aside, okay, separate from that. Jamie the Geek, I got my fucking longboard! It finally came in! Finally came in! It's so good! It's fucking upstairs. God damn it! So, it's gorgeous, and it's aluminum, and, like, it's lightweight, but it's strong, and it looks cool, and I've already got fucking stickers on it, because I'm a moron, nice. And I have ruin nice things, and I got a fucking helmet, and I found out that the first helmet, I like, apparently I can't measure my own head, so somehow I managed to buy a helmet, and like, I think it's one of those things where when they do the measurement around your head, they don't factor in that my head is not oval shaped.
Right.
I got a big ass noggin, and somehow it's perfectly sphere. Like, if you look top down, it's a moon. Like, there's just no way around it. So when I put on the helmet that was supposed to be the right size, fucking pinch in the side of my head.
Yeah, that's no good.
I had to send that back, went and got the S1, the company I'm going with is S1 Helmets. I went with their Lifer or XL Lifer or something like that. But basically the idea is it's one helmet. I'll never have to buy another one. Reasonably priced, super comfortable, real clean. I just got straight matte black. But they have a ton of different colors. So if you're into quad skating or bike or skateboarding or anything else like that, I can say with confidence the helmets are all about the same price. The larger ones are $5 more, so it's like $55 for a regular helmet, $60 for the larger size. Still pretty reasonable. Free shipping to go along with everything, and everything looks nice. And they got a ton of colors if you're into something much brighter. I figured I was, I'm going to be a 34-year-old moron on a skateboard. I don't need to draw more attention to my poorly skating ass. That said, I've been taking it out every fucking time it's not raining, which it's always fucking raining here right now.
Oh, yeah, I missed that last week. Ugh.
Fucking damn it. It has been nothing but, like, varying degrees. Jamie Noguchi, I got up on Saturday morning at 5:30 in the morning to go out and go get on the longboard in, like, some big industrial parks with no one around and beat the weather.
Oh, my God.
I got up. I got a quick shower, fed the dog, let the dog out, tore out the door, went driving down to go find a big open area, went down off of Route 43 if you're a local, down, like, right past White Marsh, nothing but just industrial parks back that way. I get out. I get on the board. Pavement is perfectly smooth. I'm having a blast. For about 6 minutes. And then the heavens open and everything starts pouring down rain.
Oh, man.
You saw my tweet about it. The second I got on the board and I felt slightly confident, the first thing I did was go find a hill. Like, this is going to end in pain somehow. I know this. So I had a moment where, you know, I start to kind of carve a little hill, and it's a little spitting out, and I'm like, fuck it, I'll be fine. Until I ended up getting the speed wobbles, and the ground got a little slick, and I almost ate shit, and I realized that you shouldn't be skateboarding in the rain, which,
no.
I'm an adult, and I understand this theory, but I'm angry at the sky right now, so fuck it, my health means nothing. So I get back in the car, angry, drive back home, and decided to drive around until I managed to check my phone and saw that I was going to have a 20-minute window where the rain wasn't going to happen. I found the local high school and fucking skated the high school instead. So in the last couple days since I got it, let's see, last Thursday, skated on a Thursday, skated on a Friday, got a half an hour Saturday, and then haven't had a chance to be back on it since.
Oh, man.
So, oof. We'll see how that goes. On the plus side, I picked up on it a lot faster than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. Did have a dangerous moment when I received it because I am a child on Christmas. I got it into the receiving area of my warehouse where I work, and immediately cracked the box open and hopped right on it and almost ate shit in my warehouse. Like, just without missing a beat, I was like, cool, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to go shoot a whole shit, and just almost ate it. No safety equipment on, no nothing. Video cameras all over the place, so I know at some point along the way, if I fell and I hurt myself on the job, the follow-up question would be, were you on a fucking skateboard?
That's going on YouTube.
Yeah, that's going on YouTube. So somewhere along the way, someone at our at my IT department was laughing at that video, and I. So, yeah. So I've been obsessing about that, and I go on vacation next week, so I am super stoked because I get to play with all of my like hiking and packing shit and everything like that. Where just I get to pack for a whole week and try and pack as small as humanly possible because I am an asshole. Like. I love doing that shit.
Well, are you flying anywhere? You're just driving.
No, I'm just going to Ocean City. Ocean City, Maryland. Nice and easy. Yeah, put the dog in the car. We got a kennel for her down there on the way down. And then I get to spend time with my in-laws family, which I actually get along with really well for a week in Ocean City. So Saturday to Saturday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. So I get to get up in the morning and go bike riding and go eat terrible food and go hang out on the beach, and I don't have to be anywhere. And because all of us are staying in the same area, I can literally sit on the beach and read comics all day and then go up and go get a beer and then come back down because our place is right on the beach.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of great. Like, I'm super spoiled with this trip. And this has been, I think, the fifth year I've been. I missed some years in between. But, yeah, I'm super spoiled about that stuff. Like, no way around it. I look forward to this week all year long.
That's so good.
Yeah, maybe if we end up doing a show next week, I'll do it from the seaside balcony, and I'll teach you waves in the background. Maybe we can do one during the day or something like that.
Oh, holy shit, that would be great. Yeah, because I work from home, so.
Right. Yeah, I was gonna say the place has Wi-Fi, so as far as I know, we should be able to cut something.
Okay.
So we'll figure something out for next week, kids. I don't know how long the episode will be, depending on the Wi-Fi, but we're gonna cut something. I'm gonna do my best not to miss an episode. I don't consider this work, so I'm not gonna be like, I'm on vacation, so I'm taking a break from. Fuck that.
Okay.
Commitment.
Greetings from the beach.
Hello, I am King Poseidon. Welcome to my seaside abode.
Oh my god, you can run around like Jason Momoa.
No, because I'm not gorgeous and Samoan. So that's... I fall under maybe one of those categories. Maybe. Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I may need to run one of those 23andMe tests to find out whether or not I'm actually Samoan, so I can actually make that true.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oceanside Brandon.
Yeah, in my happiest natural habitat, all sunburnt and shit.
You need to go, like, full-on, like, Balmer accent then. Like, if you're going... Oh,
I may be able to actually get a hold of my wife's uncle, who is kind of the spur of where my Balmer voice comes from, because he's just salt of the earth. His sweetheart of a guy, and his wife is the same way. Walk into their house, of course, in South Baltimore. First thing out of their mouth from the kitchen, "Hey, hon, you want beer going back?" And I'm like, "Fuck, I love these people. I love these people."
It's so cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Hell yeah, dude.
What are you geeking out about? Like, wait, are we going to talk about what you fucking just did, or are you actually geeking about? Okay, I was about to say, because we need to cover that shit no matter what.
Yeah, well, I don't know how long we want to get into this, because this could be the episode.
Try and give it an abridged version if you can.
Okay, last week was San Diego Comic-Con. I was going out there for two reasons. One, to hang out with our buddy Phil Chan, Master of Disguise.
Yes.
Who had an addendum for dessert ramen. And we can follow up with that later.
Right on.
But yeah, to help him out at his table, he doesn't need it. Phil Chan, when Phil Chan does a con, like, he is Iron Man. He's
a monster. Yeah. He stands the entire fucking weekend. He's not human.
Yeah, and Comic-Con is from Wednesday to Sunday.
Fuck you.
Yeah, so it's extra. And he was standing the entire time because Phil Chan is a god among men.
It's because he has respect for the people who are walking past his table, and none of us have that. Because we understand what sort of trash go to conventions.
Yeah, but the other reason was to sort of help try to drum up business for Morlock Enterprises, which is a company a friend of mine has. He does props, he does toys, and for the past couple of years we've been trying to kind of kick our butts into getting this toy company off the ground. So like Comic-Con is kind of where decision makers hang out and stuff like that.
Okay, right on.
Jim flew out to sort of make some connections and try to land some business and things like that. Like Wednesday is preview night. If you're unfamiliar with Comic-Con, Wednesday is preview night for VIPs and industry people and press and stuff. Sort of a lighter day, not really, because people are still buying shit and it's still crazy, but of the days, it's one of the lighter days, so
Okay,
it's pretty
so it's the
cool.
most enjoyable day to walk around the convention.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so yeah, I mean, like, it was crazy. So my brother, we went to Comic-Con last year, and my brother was like super excited, so he's like, all right, I'm gonna book an Airbnb as soon as I get back. So he booked the Airbnb last July, like the week after he got back from Comic-Con. They canceled because they realized, oh shit, we could be charging more. So they backed out. He booked
Bitches.
one, he booked another one in December. Hadn't heard from them in a long time, but assumed everything was okay. Touched down in San Diego, 9 a.m. And I'll forward you the text that my brother got, but basically the Airbnb, the person who owned the place is like, yeah, we've been having some water problems, and our unit is flooding, and it's flooding the people below us, and there's going to be workers coming in and out, so we have to cancel. But a friend of ours has a place down the street, and here's their number, and you can book it through them and do all this kind of stuff. And we were just like,
Wait, hang on. For the same amount and everything else, like, how did you guys get fucking fleeced on money?
well, they were gonna fleece us. They were gonna steal our kidneys and try to ch charge the same rate. Fortunately, one of Aaron's friends has a place in San Diego, so we're like, fuck you, Airbnb, we're gonna stay with Emily. And what we think happened is these guys also at the last minute realized, oh shit, it's Comic-Con weekend, we can probably book this spot
How the
for
fuck do you
more.
not know that? Like,
I don't know. I
how do you
don't
live in that
know.
city and not acknowledge, like, there are, when Otakon was in Baltimore, there were dudes who had no, couldn't spell anime, and were like, hey man, is that weird comic thing happening again where the kids dress like the ninjas? And I'm like, yeah, that's the thing. Well, shit, now I can't go to the game. Like, just, yeah, like, everyone knows about it, so fuck off. Like, San Diego is like, what, easily 9 times the size of Otakon?
Oh, but yeah, I mean, on any
So,
given day.
fuck off with that. Like, you didn't know,
So
dickhole.
what we think happened is they were trying to screw us out of the thing so they could list it on Craigslist for more. Because when people are looking to book at the last minute, they'll pay whatever the fuck.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which I know, it sucked, but it didn't suck. I wasn't panicking as much as I normally would have because I knew we had a backup. If Emily and her husband ever move, we're kind of fucked. They were kind enough to let us crash at their pad, which was awesome.
That is awesome.
Thursday night, we got invited to this webcomic party, which sounds pretty low budget and stupid. But it was hosted by this website called Webtoons, and our friend Monica Gallagher publishes her webcomic Assassin Roommate through that. They have lots of money. So
What, in web comics?
their parent company is like Korean Google, so they have like,
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, did they start in 2009 and I didn't notice them? Like, how did that?
So all the success they've had in Korea, they're trying to emulate and bring that business model here. And they threw this huge ass party, rooftop party, to try to impress all of us and to get us motivated to like give them free content, because they're hosting a competition. Like, the grand prize is 80 grand to publish your webcomic through Webtoons. And they have different plans. So it's like, you know, it's like this big honeypot. They're trying to
Jamie Noguchi, did you happen to get a number or a contact for this thing? Because I feel like a certain live art competition would be kind of fucking perfect. And I'll sell out to Korean Google in a hot second. Like, my price is low. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't get the number of anybody who's important there, but Monica might know somebody to talk to. That's a good question. I'll see.
Yeah, because we would be great for a rooftop party with a bunch of webcomics people.
Yeah.
Like, that's our bread and butter.
Well, you could tell when you got up there that most of the people that were invited because they were hot, not because they did webcomics.
That's okay.
But yeah,
we'll just not invite some certain art fight staff. It'd be fine.
It was cool. Awesome. Like, I'd never been to a rooftop party before, so it was exactly as insane as you would think it is.
The closest thing I've gotten is like beers and barbecue in a Brooklyn rooftop, which doesn't feel anything like the same.
Yeah, no, this was crazy. So in general, Comic-Con is so massive that the surrounding city has become like nerd central. So like,
well, of course, there's money to be made.
Yeah, all the bars have special events, special things going on. And then they have these things around the city called activations. And what it is are movies and television shows and movie studios like renting out a big piece of property or a parking lot. And they host an event. Like, there was a Jack Ryan experience. So you could go in and do like a 4D spy thriller thing.
Okay.
I think there was a part where you rappel down from a helicopter.
Yeah, zipline shit.
There was a cloak and dagger thing where they hooked you into a harness and you could fly around and stuff. There was a human claw machine where they harness you into a thing, drop you down, okay, and then you can use your arms to like pick up a thing.
That's cool.
Adult Swim every year hosts like a carnival type thing.
Yeah, I saw the photo of you and Aaron Surak and someone else in like canoe looking go-karts or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So they have every year they have go-karts. This year's theme was canoes because they were hosting a summer camp. And okay. They had like carnival games. They had a plushy bow and arrow thing where you can shoot meat wad out of a target. They had a crafting center. Each station, they gave you a merit badge. So they had arts and crafts station where you make a sash and you get that stuff. But they have all these games, and they're all free. Like, all the outside stuff is free.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year, what is that, Seth? Seth McFarlane, not McFarlane. Is it Seth McFarlane?
Seth Green with Robot Chicken?
The Family Guy.
Seth MacFarlane,
his Star Trek show.
It's not Odyssey, it's something else with an O. I can't remember. Go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
Something like that.
Someone's yelling at their screen right now.
Yeah, they had like one of those things where you strap in and it zooms you around and like a cyclotron thing. So they have like all these amusements and stuff outside of the show. So if you want to experience Comic-Con but can't afford to pay admission price or you miss out on the lottery, you just go to San Diego and hang out around the area. They had a South Park escape room kind of thing, which was kind of cool. But Phil Chan's girlfriend Gina does all the activation stuff. So like, if you want to, you know, next year, if you get bored and you want to come out to San Diego, Brandon, and you don't care for massive crowds of idiots, don't even bother getting a ticket and just hang out with Gina.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't enjoy crowds like that. Like,
yeah,
when we did Anime Expo, I realized like there's a threshold for convention crowds that like the idea of going to New York Comic Con is just a hard no for me.
Yeah. So imagine that, but more.
No.
And from Wednesday till Sunday.
No, there's nothing to be enjoyed with that. I don't. Yeah, no.
But the other thing is, out back there's a taco truck. There's a food truck.
And okay. Just the one food truck?
It's weird. There's one food truck by like the loading dock area, and then there was one food truck near the adult swim stuff that was like frou-frou and healthy food and like
Yeah, everything's
raw.
covered in truffle oil and shit like that, right? Yeah.
But the real food truck is the taco truck, and you
Yeah.
go there. The first couple of years I went to Comic-Con, like lunch, we would always go to the Gaslight District or Gas Lamp District, and buy sandwiches and wraps and everything. But it would be like $10 a wrap or something. So if you're buying food for a bunch of people, you're spending like 50, 60 to $100 a day just on lunch.
Right.
Taco truck, one taco, 350. Tacos
Yeah.
this big.
Nice.
1 liter bottle of glass Coke this big.
Yeah.
It's the best fucking deal in the con.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we discovered the taco truck 3 years ago, and we have not gone anywhere else for lunch.
This sounds like the sort of thing where like they're not supposed to have that taco truck there, and all of the convention center staff know about the taco truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time we're in line, it's the security people, it's the con staff, it's like
Yeah,
the people in the know.
you guys figured out someone who works the union at the convention center just opens up a gate and lets them in,
Yeah.
and nobody will narc them out.
Yeah. There's a this year there was like a fancy grilled cheese stand that was like near it, but like fucking tacos, man. 350 in the middle of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, if I'm going to California, I'm getting tacos. Like, just I am.
Yeah.
No way around it. So, any other highlights, Jamie?
Food is great. San Diego. Emily, the Aaron's friend who we stayed with, she took us to two different ramen places. One of the ramen places makes character buns, so it's like a bao, but it's got a cute face. So if you're getting a pork bun, it's got a cute little piggy. If you
Oh.
got a chicken bun, you're getting a cute little chicken. They have dessert bao, so the Hello Kitty one was Nutella.
Okay.
It was really cute. And then there was a chicken place she took us to. All of this is in like Little Italy, which is weird, but
Honestly, Jamie, after our experience the first time when we went to Chicago and we walked through Little Ukraine to go to that taco place where we ended up doing karaoke, I think the areas of the city that are little whatever don't fucking matter anymore. Like, it's whatever hole in the wall place is real goddamn good, find a local and then ask them.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Comic-Con is great if you can make it out there. I highly recommend it. If you can't afford the actual ticket to get into the actual show, come anyway. I mean, there's free shit to do around the city. There's a lot of nerdy stuff.
I hear they have a zoo.
Yeah, but I mean, we got a free zoo, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean, all
And
right, fair enough.
our zoo is bigger.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if theirs is nicer.
Theirs is nicer because the weather is nicer and you won't get bit by mosquitoes.
Whatever the fucking reason, that's fine. I'm not saying if we're flying all the way out to San Diego for the zoo. But like, you know, when you say the San Diego Zoo, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that.
Yeah. I like going to the show. I feel a tremendous sense of FOMO when I go to Comic-Con. Because I was there, man. Like, I was working booths there like 10, 15 years ago. And instead of sticking with it, I decided I needed to get a real job. And, and now I'm trying to fight my way back into like the comic industry and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, but you're enjoying it and you're having fun, and you and I both know that what you were doing wasn't a real long-term goal there.
Yeah, that's true.
Like having a wife and a kid and a life and a house and everything else like that is, you know, it I know you wouldn't turn back anything.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't do that if I was still a colorist. That's for damn
Right.
sure.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like congratulations, you could still be a colorist and be fucking poor.
Yeah.
So like
Yeah. Oh, I forgot one other thing, and this is like one of those random things that always happens at San Diego. We went to the Hilton, which is no, the Hyatt, one of those H words. Anyway, it's a hotel that's next to the convention. And hanging out in the bar, if you want to meet, like movie stars or comic creators, or hang out at the bar because they have a hotel there. Everybody hangs out there.
We've had this experience before when we were in DC. We saw Batista. Like,
yeah.
You know, I hung out at a Starbucks with Tommy Dreamer and Christian the
yeah.
When we were in DC the last time, when we were out in LA.
Friend of the show, you know, Christian.
Right, yeah, when we were out in LA and we were sitting at the bar, Ray Park was over at the bar. So, like, we've experienced this a bit.
Yeah, so bar was nuts. Lobby was nuts. It was insane. So I was like, hey, let's go to this upstairs lobby. It seems a little bit quieter. Maybe we could just sit down. Go upstairs. Some random dude has a table full of laser tag guns and says, hey, you guys want to play some laser tag?
Yes. Always yes.
Always yes.
I've never said no to that question.
It's this system where the guns have a holster for your phone. So you download an app.
Okay.
Plug the phone in, and the phone keeps track of, like, your ammo, reloads,
okay. Right on.
The bases, like, the spawn points, loot crates to pick up ammo and shit like that. So it was really cool.
Okay, cool.
Apparently, the company that makes it no longer supports the system because no one was buying it.
Okay. So what did they, like, steal all of your contacts as payment? How did that work?
Well, no. The guy bought the system at, like, Goodwill because, you know, he just found it and he's playing this game, so.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. my brother Aaron and Emily went to this Adult Swim thing where, like, they were in this exclusive Rick and Morty thing, which was terrible. They were all complaining about it. Like, Aaron texted me and she said, this is more boring than sitting at the table. This is more boring than sitting in line. So while they were there, we were playing laser tag. but yeah. All right. I should stop now because I could keep going.
Yeah. All right. So Jamie Noguchi, what are we fixing this week? I have not looked at the list. I have no idea what we're about to talk about.
The list says Pacific Rim.
Fuck.
And I have to tell the people of my love of this franchise. When the second one was announced and Bandai put up pre-orders for the model kits, I purchased all of the model kits here. So here's Gypsy Avenger, Bracer Phoenix, and here is Obsidian Fury.
Okay.
And Brandon there is rocking
the one of the arguably greatest Jaegers, Crimson Typhoon, because if you compare this baller motherfucker to those three, those other three look like knockoff anime creations. The first movie had such better Jaegers. It just did.
I agree.
It just did. Between Crimson Typhoon and Cherno Alpha.
Oh,
just
Cherno, so good.
It's so cool.
So amazing.
Oh, God damn it.
So
realistically, Jamie, I think when we put this down there, it ain't the first one. We should really be specific.
Yeah.
It's Pacific Rim 2.
It's Pacific Rim 2. It's the franchise, it's the ancillary stuff, it's everything that's surrounds the first one that's not quite as good as the first one. Like, I bought the comic book, like the prequel comic book. It's not as good as the first movie. Like, the new toys, they're not as quite as good as the first movie. Like, the second movie was entertaining, but it's not quite as good as the first movie. What was it about the first one that captured our imaginations so greatly? Because, like, you're not necessarily into giant, like, if I gave you a giant robot, that's cool, but you don't necessarily follow giant robot anime.
No.
Or, like, the old Voltron shows or anything like that.
No, here's the thing, is, like, one, I think the biggest issue with the second one, no Guillermo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it lost its fun. It's like Hellboy. Hellboy is awesome because you need someone to kind of go into this thing with a little bit of tongue in cheek.
Right.
The first movie had such, one, it had a killer soundtrack. That fucking theme getting picked up over and over again, it reminded you when you watch Batman for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask me what was the soundtrack to the 89 Batman movie, it's the Batman theme and Party Man from Prince. And that's it. Like, that's fucking it. I'm sure there were other songs. I don't remember a fucking one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific Rim had a couple things that were awesome. A great sense of humor. Super dramatic, over-the-top shots where they showed how fucking big everything was. And that goddamn soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like, it's the you know, when Ash in Pokemon turns his fucking hat around, you know it's business. When I heard that fucking theme power up, you're like, shit, yes! The Tom Morello fucking riff that, and you like, immediately I look around and all of us in the fucking room are kind of doing the head nod like, shit's about to get serious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember there being a moment in the second one like when Gypsy Danger grabbed the boat. There, like, just that fucking moment of like, well, he's kind of a rough and tumble guy. He's going to use what's around him. Of course he'd pick up a container ship and use it like a ball bat. Like, the fucking Warriors moment of that, where he drags the ball bat. Like, you knew shit was about to be bad.
That was such a great shot. Like, that drag and then the lift. Drag, and then,
right. Just the realization of, like, this container ship's really heavy. And then all of a sudden you realize, no. He's doing one of those Warriors come out and play moments where you hear the boat dragging because he wants that fucking monster to know, shit's coming. Pain's coming. Here comes the pain.
Yeah.
Like, I swear, if there was a microphone on the front of Gypsy Danger, Charlie Hunnam would have been talking shit the entire fucking time. Like, I think I figured out that's really the secret of Crimson Typhoon. It's not the three arms. It's that one of these guys runs an arm and a speaker box, and all he does is talk shit all the time.
My God, that would be perfect.
Yeah, because you only need the two of them for the legs and the other two arms. That last guy, he's like the Flav of your team. He's just waving fists, pumping the other two along, and talking shit. While two arms are pummeling that thing, the last one's in the back just going, yeah, what now? How about that shit?
You got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. Right, or pulling one of the Three Stooges moments, you know, and all of a sudden, like, they're pummeling him, they back up, third arm comes in, eye poke, like, just... I miss that kind of fucking fun.
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more I remember exactly why we loved the first one. And it's not necessarily because the place we saw it in. We saw it with a bunch of our friends, like, in a dark-ass theater, midnight showing, and they didn't care. We were just shouting at the screen. But I've seen it, like, five other times since then, and
yeah.
I've had that feeling. Like, yeah. Things build. Like, the movie has a great pace. It, like, there's slow moments and they're heavy moments, but they all, it's got a nice flow to it. It kind of, you know, when Rocket Punch happens, you're in there, you're ready.
It's also the characters that happen. Charlie Hunnam's character, I could fucking care less about.
Right.
Mako's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Stacker is fucking, by the way, the names. The fucking names. Like, the stone cold, gigantic, like, fucking wrecking ball size nuts you have to name your child Stacker Pentecost. There is no, like, that dude does two things, sells meth in Florida or saves the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no middle ground. Like, Stacker Pentecost is not installing fucking aluminum siding.
Yeah.
It just is not happening.
And no
that
one
is such a high bar.
And no one could have delivered that canceling the apocalypse line like Idris Elba.
Yes, and I think that takes me back to the other thing. Idris Elba is Idris Elba. His son is not.
No.
Trying to fill that void is not what you should have done, especially when you had Charlie Hunnam right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure there's some sort of bullshit excuse of like, he was out shooting the weird King Arthur movie or something. Like, fucking hell. A little bit of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let him be the guy that runs the thing. Even reluctantly
right.
Runs the thing. You know, like, everything's done and Stacker dies and he has to go and be thrust into this leadership role because he doesn't want it, and everything gets complacent, and he settles down, and he's like, I think I'm going to retire. You guys don't need me anymore. Everything settled down. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and he remembered why he joined in the first place. Mm-hmm. And he's watching, you know, old videos of Stacker, and he's figuring out what's going on. And that's when his son comes in, and his son is still the same character, but Charlie Hunnam's got to be the one to snap him up and go, I was you. I know what it's like to be you. I mm-hmm. understand. And try and give him that thing, and have the two of them at odds with each other. Hey, you know, Sun Young, you're not my father. Charlie Hunnam, like, I don't want to be your father. There needed to be the thing, and it's not there. It's not there.
So, given that the second one happened,
yes.
Given that they made enough money to make a third one, because it yes. made a shit ton of money. Like, what do we want to see from the franchise? Do we want the third movie, or do we want to see like a TV series, or how do we bring it back? How do we make people give a shit about giant monsters, giant robots punching?
Two things. A third movie.
Okay.
Bring back Guillermo and whoever the design team was for the first movie for the Jaegers and all of the monsters and everything else like that. Let them go banana fuck nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of the Jaegers in the second one looked way too close to Michael Bay's Transformers. Especially the Junker. Like after I don't know why I watched it, but I watched the most recent Transformers movie, the one where it's like King Arthur.
I watched that too in the theater.
And you see them all in the junkyard, and you see the girl with like the little Transformer that's got like the bug eyes or whatever it is. And all I could think of is that's the same fucking character as the girl with the Junker Jaeger that she's putting together. Like, it's the same fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when all the Jaegers end up looking like fucking Autobots, I stop giving a fuck.
Yeah, they need to streamline. Like, more is just more sometimes. Like, your design needs to cut a nice silhouette, has to be recognizable, and, you know, you can put greebly bits and shit and panel lines in it, but, it, you know, when you're looking at the form, it's gotta look impressive.
It needs something. Big fucking shoulder pads, some sort of thing, knee blades. Like, you need to be, like, you need to run, to jump back, the Pokemon rule. Show a silhouette.
Yeah.
I know which one of the Jaegers is a Jaeger with the silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know that, you're not doing a good job selling me on the design. You're just not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just straight up. So, really unique designs. Bring back Guillermo and fucking add some continuity here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fix your whole issues that you had before. Bring back Charlie. Bring back as many fucking people as you can. Am I losing my mind? Was Scott Eastwood in that fucking movie? Or is it a dude who looks like Scott Eastwood?
It was Scott Eastwood.
Can we just not put Scott Eastwood in things?
I will agree with that.
I don't have anything against the guy personally. But he almost ruined the Fast and Furious series too. He's fucking wallpaper.
Oh my god, I didn't even remember that.
I feel the way about Scott Eastwood the way that I used to feel about Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
When Channing Tatum first came out, I was like, this dude is good-looking furniture. And then I went to go watch Marty Day and I, our fight co-host with the Mo-host, went out to go see 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
And thought this was going to be trash. And in the first 20 minutes, we are doubled over laughing. And we walked out of that thing and realized Channing Tatum's fucking funny and he's good. You just got to use him the right way.
Yeah.
I don't know what sort of thing Scott Eastwood – you know what Scott Eastwood would be good in? The like third – like if they did a Saving Private Ryan 2.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be great in like 1940s military gear.
He's got that look.
Right, he's got that real classic kind of, you know, 40s good-looking white boy military look. Like,
yeah.
And that's great, but that doesn't belong in my fucking cool, like, anime mech movie.
Yeah, it's giant just, robot punching.
Right. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't super on board with Charlie Hunnam, but at least I could believe that he was a little bit of a bad boy because he had that precedence. Scott Eastwood doesn't get that from me. He reminds me, like, he's the living embodiment of every sales rep I've always fucked with. He's the guy who tries to sell me on Toby Keith. Like, just fucking stop. I don't care about your red solo cups, and I know you've got a I know you've got a boat, and you're trying to get a yacht. Like, it just stop it. Like, your boat only seats 10, and eventually you're gonna get one that's bigger that has a bathroom. I get it. At some point along the way, it's gonna happen. But for now, fuck off.
God. Yeah.
So no more Scott Eastwood in anything.
Do you,
after that?
Who? So do we need a Stacker type person to pull this all together?
I assume either you get Charlie Hunnam or you make John Boyega step up.
Mm-hmm. I felt like John Boyega was holding back for some reason, and he was the producer on this movie. Like, I felt like he should have, I don't know, I felt like there was more to it.
Am I wrong to think that maybe John Boyega is not nearly as interesting as everyone writes him to be?
Did you see Attack the Block?
I did, but yeah. That's written a part written for him. The Star Wars stuff, as Finn, all of those things are super written for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you put him on an episode of like Curb Your Enthusiasm, if he's actually going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know.
He seems like a nice guy. I'm sure there's somebody who's like, I saw him on the panel at AwesomeCon or at San Diego, and he was super entertaining. Okay, cool. Does that translate to being on camera? You can be a cool person and cool to hang out with and off the cuff, but like when you're in a situation where your creative capabilities are being put on film, do you have the ability to translate that, or do you have to be given stuff and then put your spin on it? Like, yeah, I wonder if maybe he was doing control, or maybe just the writing was a little weak.
Yeah, I think given the right direction or given the material, because they were working with some pretty bad stuff. Like,
yeah, and that's like that's the thing, is like someone has to recognize this isn't very good.
Yeah.
So at somewhere along the way, someone had to be like, look, this ain't that good. But it's just not. Yeah. Like, so I don't know. Like, there's got to be something. Yeah. And I do want to go on the record. I fucking love John Boyega in everything else that I've seen him in. It's not that I disliked him in this movie. I think you nailed it, Jamie. He felt like he was holding back.
Yeah.
I felt like I was getting like 70% of what he's capable
of. Yeah, you need 100% John Boyega.
Yeah, I need him to enjoy it. And that tells me one of two things. He's off and his writing wasn't very good, or he really wasn't feeling this either, and that's the best he can muster.
Yeah.
So if well, it's the latter, he's got to do better idea.
He wasn't a writer. He was producer, so.
Right, but you get what I mean. Like, right. At some point along the way, he's a professional. He's going to have his name on this thing. And if he doesn't want to always be pegged as a Star Wars guy, he needs to figure out a way to branch out. I don't know if doing another science fiction movie is probably the smartest thing, but if you're going to do another science fiction movie and try and do a character that is not Finn, you need to fucking put your stamp on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And being forgettable or, you know, phoning it in is not the way to do it. At least not in my opinion.
Right.
And I'm sure there are other people who saw it and saw his performance were like, I thought it was fucking great. You're out of your mind. Fine. Okay, cool. It didn't grab me the way the first movie did.
Yeah.
I think, Jamie, you're reading the same thing. It didn't fucking, like...
His interactions with Mako were great, and I thought that was fun. And I felt like there was something there. But then when he wasn't with her, it felt like
he was near Scott Eastwood, and Scott Eastwood was sucking all the fucking life force out of the room.
Yeah, there was something about it. It was just, I don't know.
It's Scott Eastwood is the problem. He's the fucking cancer, Jamie. That's really what I'm saying. I think someone needs to kill the career of Scott Eastwood. Like, HBO needs to wrap him up or something. Like, if True Blood wants to come back and cast Scott Eastwood as a vampire, and this way I don't have to see him in film anymore, if he can just disappear off to, like, hourly series or something, that'd be fine. I need him to play off of somebody who can really give him his shit.
Yeah.
Maybe he can show up on well, no, Game of Thrones is ending, so I guess I'm missing my chance there to have Dinklage yell at him. But maybe we can make him a fucking X-Man or something like that.
Yeah,
at him anyway, but whatever. Like, just you know what? Fuck, he's fucking Cyclops.
Oh my god, he is.
He is fucking Cyclops.
He's our Cyclops.
He is. Yes. Yeah.
Just kind of. He's there.
Yeah, he sure is there. Thanks, Scott. I don't even have to rewrite your fucking name.
You would be perfect, Scott.
He is Scott. He is. His name is fucking Scott. Stupid Jordy LaForge fucking visor on his face and have him run around and talk about how much he loves Gene and he's pissed off. Yeah. God fucking damn it. Yeah, and then we end up recasting fucking Wolverine. And of course, they won't go very far. They'll hire, like, Gerard Butler or something because, you know, why wouldn't they? And oh, then, God, yeah. Yeah. And then we can have, like, Battle of the Good Looking Wallpapers.
That'll grind your movie to a halt. Oh,
God damn it.
All right, so we unleash Boyega. Huh. We get the original team to design it and shoot it, because I think that was the problem. Like, it felt like a TV series.
Yes. And whoever, I don't know if the same crew did the, I'm trying to see here who did the, whatever the fuck it is, the soundtrack.
I think we get the RZA to do the soundtrack.
Okay, but can we at least bring back Tom Morello as a session guitarist at the very least?
Oh, yeah. Like,
something needs to happen there.
But him and Tom Morello do a track, and it's amazing. So I think we get the RZA to score it, and we get Tom Morello in there.
Who the fuck is Lauren Balfe? He's apparently the one who did this one. Who the fuck? Let's see. Okay, he did Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
Okay, so he's done a bunch of Guy Ritchie movies. What else? Yada, yada, yada. Red Wing. Son of God. Penguins of Madagascar soundtrack. Terminator Genesis. Look, okay. That needs to be the rule here. Look, if you were involved in Terminator Genesis, I don't want you anywhere near Pacific Rim.
Nope.
I don't care what you did. Key grips, lighting guys, sound guys, the fucking bagel guy. I don't want you getting any of your fucking, like, poor bullshit around my Pacific Rim. That's got to be a hard rule. I think we can just write that up there. Just... Right on there as we're putting together the list, just looking through the resume. Okay, so what have you worked on? So, Terminator Genesis. Yeah. You listed that, did you? It was nice to meet you. Have a great day.
Yeah.
But we haven't gone over. We're not going to.
Yeah.
No. Show of hands. Everyone in the room who's working on Pacific Rim 3, raise your hand. Put your fucking hand down.
I just had a thought for who could replace the Stacker Pentecost type. And this is for the Kamen Rider fans, but Fujioka, the original OG Kamen Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Fujioka doing his speech.
Yeah.
Of like, him giving speeches and telling John Boyega to kick some ass.
Yeah, I don't know who we get to kind of do that. I need grumbly, I need strong... who the fuck
That's Fujioka right there.
Man, now I feel like an asshole. Who's the one in not the most recent one that's coming out, but the Godzilla movie before that, the one that said let them fight? I'm blanking
Ken
on his
Watanabe.
Name. Ken Watanabe. Maybe him?
Oh, I'd like that too.
Like, we keep the globalness of it going, but like, I need stoic and strong.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if I need an older guy, but I need that. When I hear that speech in my head, I hear grumbly voice, and I don't know if like Glenn Close would cut it.
Ken Watanabe would be great.
Watanabe, I think, would be a really cool touch. Like, I'm trying to think of some other guys who would be really good. I don't want anyone like super big name like a Denzel or anything else like that. Like, I wanna keep it slightly obscure or more obscure. Yeah, I just something. Fuck it, let's bring in Vin. Let's just bring in Vin.
He's got to do something. We'll stick him in a Jaeger and punch somebody.
Fuck, that be... Oh my God. What if we find out the new Tokyo team, right? It's Vin and Dwayne in a Jaeger together. And they're just...
Oh my God. That's
how Han comes back. We actually flash forward. We give Han, like, silver hair, and we put a couple fake wrinkles on Vin, and just like he can let it go. You know how in the last Fast and Furious movie he was definitely not wearing as tight a t-shirts, like it was a lot of bicep and chest, mm-hmm. and like they were purposely baggy in here. We just let him go ham on the cheeseburgers, so he's just nothing but like arms and chest, but he's got a fucking beer belly.
Yeah,
and he's like, he's the only Jaeger driver in a fucking wife beater, and just him and Han just come literally sliding in. And, like, their Jaeger's got, like, a big, like, V8 sort of air intake head or something. Yeah.
Sun Kang, the guy who plays Han, was at that fucking Webtoons party.
Jamie Higuchi, did you hug him?
I couldn't find him. My brother saw him when they went for drinks. And then, like, I looked for him everywhere. He disappeared like mist.
So he is magical, then.
I mean, he is magical. He probably is. So we've talked about casting, we've talked about we haven't talked shit about the story, which means we probably don't give a shit.
I gotta be honest with you, Jamie, the fucking story from the first one wasn't really all that great.
It's true.
Here's the thing. If you start asking about story and development from a giant robot versus monsters movie, fucking stop. Just stop. Like, these are the same people who are like, I saw Deadpool and there wasn't enough character development. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Was it exactly what it said it was going to be? Was Deadpool going to be there? Was there going to be a bunch of gunshots? Were there a bunch of really funny one-liners? Was somebody really inappropriate? You got, when you paid your $17, you got exactly what you paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Stop asking things to be what they're not. Like, I don't need a great story.
Right.
That's what Guillermo's there for. Let him just kind of rein that shit in.
Mm-hmm.
After the fact, though.
Right, right. You got to put the right people in place.
I want a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I think after number three, it can live on in a Netflix series cartoon where it has the ability to release an entire series and tell a full story arc, mm-hmm. similar to the way the Voltron is.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could have a bunch of really rad actors and have a bunch of other people, and we can have Ron Perlman show up. Fuck, I didn't even talk about fucking Hannibal Chow.
Oh my god, yes.
With another goddamn great name. Who the fuck looks at Ron Perlman and goes, Hannibal Chow? No, 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 and his fucking swinging gold thing and his boots. The fucking characters in that first, goddamn it.
That's why he wasn't there, because Guillermo wasn't involved, and so he was like, well, if Guillermo's not here, fuck you.
Fuck you, right, that's what I'm saying. This is what you're, stop it. Just fucking stop it. Get the people who love the thing to do the thing.
Hellboy 3 should just be Pacific Rim 3. And Hellboy should just show up.
This is the thing. Like, this is why I'm so concerned about the new Hellboy thing, because I really like David Harbour. And I don't want to dislike Hellboy. And I think it'll still be fun. I don't know if it's going to be the same kind of fun.
No, it'll be different.
And I don't know if it's going to be, like, because I'm going to compare them.
Yeah.
Everyone is going to compare them. I don't want to knock down the stock of David Harbour and compare him to Ron Perlman. They're not the same animal.
Right.
I'm comparing apples and oranges if both of them happen to be fucking purple.
Right.
Like, just, like, they're the same color, but they're definitely not the same fucking fruit. Like, mm-hmm. They're not. So, yeah, okay. But, yes, again, to finish my thought process, after the third movie, a cartoon. And a continuing series cartoon, and it goes for as long as people actually pay attention to it and watch it. I trust Netflix to do that stuff. They've been really good about their original series and their cartoons especially.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun with it. Enjoy it. If it lasts one season and there's not much of an audience for it, there's not much of an audience for it. If there is, cool. Like, let it happen. And the cool part about doing the cartoon is that you can redo it and have different voice actors for different markets.
Oh, yeah.
So if the cartoon's really big in Japan or China or wherever else in the world it is, get a different voiceover team of more localized voiceover actors for it and have them do it instead.
I would love the same team that works on Voltron to, like, I would love that style for the Pacific Rim cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need a CG thing.
No, I don't need a CG thing either. Like, honestly, I would take the, did they have a Castlevania or something like that? I seem to remember,
yes.
Like, there's some
yes.
sort of, like, I would even be cool with that anime style.
Yeah, hell, like, yeah.
But what I really want is, like, stark contrast, super dark, gritty areas, and then super bright neon lights and whatever. Like, that fight scene in the evening of that first movie with the boat, there was such a stark contrast of colors. It reminded me of a city. Mm-hmm. A lot of dark corners that they don't want to highlight, and then the super brightness of certain areas. It needs to have that kind of fun.
That was the other thing I was thinking about. Like, all the monster kaiju robot fights happen in the daytime in this one.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to have that darkness to it. It's got to go back to night fights.
Maybe not even night fights, don't be afraid to hide a little bit. Yeah. Like, when we all saw Cloverfield for the first time, the monster seemed scary as fuck until you saw the thing in the daylight and they panned the model back and you were like, what the fuck is that thing? Right, yeah, right. And you end up looking like some sort of weird fucked up bulldog thing and you're like, that's not scary at all. What the fuck is with his back feet? Like, I want a little bit of that with the thing. Like, I want the toys to be where I go, fuck, he's got that little thing. Like, just, there was so much glowiness and cool shit where, like, similar to Attack the Block, they use lighting effects to create fear and show how big or impressive or intimidating the thing was. Don't be afraid to do that. Yeah. Like, a different director, I think, would have reined that shit in a little bit and been like, yeah, no, we don't show these things in broad daylight unless we absolutely have to. Yeah. Like, I get the idea of this movie needed to have a brighter color palette just to differentiate itself from the last one. Cool. Have a couple fights. But, like, not everything needs to be in super broad daylight where the CG team has to show off their capability of, we figured out how to show dripping water off of the ball sack of a 900-foot kite. Like, thank you, yeah. I think.
Like, that last fight scene, like, those kaijus combining into one thing, I think shot differently could have felt like the most crazy fucking thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I wanted it for that. I wanted that for this movie. And I want that for this franchise.
Yeah. I hate to be that guy who's doing the, bring back the thing that I like a lot more, but I gotta be honest with you. I think we gave the new one a fair shot. I think there's a lot of good stuff to be had there and carved out. I think it just needs to be shaved down. I think it needs to be shaved down by somebody who really hit it right the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know what really held up everything, and I'm sure Marty Day could probably correct me right now on some sort of contract negotiations, or Guillermo was doing something else, or he just didn't want to do it, or whatever it is. But then, someone's got to have that sort of vision. Like, if he didn't want to direct, he needed to produce. He needed to be, like, a guiding hand on everything. And I say this as I realize I should probably look to see if he actually did produce on everything here. Let me see. Written by. Produced by. Okay, Guillermo did produce it.
Yeah, but some producers have, like, a heavy hand. Some producers are kind of like, I like your vision. Let's just help you here and there and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, but... Yeah, I wanted more of Guillermo's look. I wanted a Guillermo movie is really what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude does monster movies just fucking well.
Or at least somebody willing to push it a little bit farther. Like, someone who's a fan of the genre. Like, someone who loves giant robots.
And Jamie, I'd even argue, it needs to be also more of a monster movie. It needs to be a tokusatsu movie. Like, it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It missed that fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this time. I'm gonna watch it. Like,
I'm probably gonna download it and watch it on the beach next week and eat all my words. But fuck it, because robots.
No, but like when they make the third one, you know, even if the trailers are disappointing, they have my ticket.
We're gonna go. We're going to go, and I'm going to buy I'm going to go probably right now, and I'm going to go spend money on the second one because I want them to make a third one. And that's how I want to continue to make the thing. I'm going to treat it like Star Wars for all you fucking picky-ass Star Wars nerds who are like, I don't like the thing. Fucking keep buying it because they're going to stop making it if you don't do it, and stop trying to just fuck you, okay? Yeah. Enjoy the thing that you're getting because at least you're getting a thing.
That's why I bought the models, because I want more of it. I want more. All right. Well, have an awesome time at the beach. We'll figure out if we're going to actually do this from the beach.
Yeah, we're going to do some sort of something or other. Yeah. We'll figure it out. Worst case, Jamie, you and I will, like, we'll record some sort of, like, Skype call, or we'll figure something out. And yeah, we'll do a thing. It'll be fine.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I never know how to end this, so fucking do the thing.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck it. Hang on a second. That's an important thing. If you're interested in doing a thing, fucking do the thing. If you don't know how to fucking do the thing, buzz us and we'll help you figure out how to fucking do the thing. All right. Go make more shit.
Yeah.
Go have a lot of fun.
Our email is info@fuckingdoitcast.com. It works now.
Yep.
I have proof. Someone other than me has used the email service, so it's great.
And, thank you, Greg. And again, if you're looking for topics, you want to hear us yell about something, shoot us an email. Jamie, for inspiration, fuckingdo.it?
Fuckingdo.it. Yes, yes.
Yep. Fuckingdo.it. Type it in, and then continue to click it until you actually get tired of laughing at it, and then actually go fucking listen to it and do the thing.
All right, later.
Later!